The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Take me out to the ball game. Or not. The Pirates open their season tomorrow in Miami against the Marlins, and I don't care. The opening of baseball season used to be one of my favorite days of the year. It was right up there with Christmas Day when I was a kid, especially the home opener. I skipped school and went to my first one of those in 1960. I was 11, and Tony Scorco, a 19-year-old kid who worked in a local pizza shop owned by my friend Mike, took me and Mike to the game. It was a beautiful day. Pirates beat the Reds 13-0. Bill Mazeroski hit a home run. Now, I wouldn't be talking to you right now if it were not for baseball. Baseball and Bob Prince, that is. Growing up listening to him calling Pirates games is what made me interested in becoming a baseball announcer, which is what I was for 3 years in the minor leagues, and that's what got me interested in getting into broadcasting. And when I started working in Pittsburgh in the late 70s, the Pirates were pretty good, and I got to cover a World Series and co-host pre- and post-game shows with Prince in 1979. And people used to look at me funny when I would say that I enjoyed covering the World Series much more than I enjoyed covering Super Bowls. I just liked baseball that much. Now, of course, when I was a kid, I could only not only tell you everybody on the Pirates roster and their starting lineup, I could imitate everybody's batting stance. I could still do it now, actually. Right now, I don't think I could tell you the names of five players on the Pirates roster, and I do not know who their starting second baseman is. I swear I don't know who it is. Major League Baseball has been dead to me for probably 20 years. Not having a salary cap made the Pirates, for most of the last 20 years, a major league team in name only, and the ridiculous disparity in payrolls became an insult to my intelligence as a fan and as someone who knows what a league is supposed to be. I don't think that's ever going to be fixed in my lifetime, and that's a shame because baseball is a great game. It's been ruined by the group I used to call when I worked in television, the IWRB, the Idiots Who Run Baseball. And in our second half hour today, we're going to talk about what could be Pete Rose Part 2 in Major League Baseball, a scandal that might involve the biggest star in the game getting caught gambling. But when we come back, I'm going to talk to Kash Patel, who's working on the Trump campaign and who has firsthand knowledge of the deep state because he worked in it. He's going to talk about what Donald Trump has to do to overcome it. Stick around. Well, the big news right now is the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which was declared an accident. The situation down there was called an accident immediately by the Biden administration, and not everybody's buying it. Not sure if Donald Trump is buying it. Kash Patel is a Trump 2024 surrogate. He's the author of Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and The Battle for Our Democracy, and he joins us now. Kash, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we're living in a world, not least I am, where you never accept what the federal government is telling you without wanting a lot of proof. In your book, you say you're the guy who broke the Russiagate situation. At this point, do you or President Trump believe that what we're dealing with here down there in Baltimore is Bridgegate?
Well, I'm not going to speak for the former president and hopefully future president, but you know, we are in an unfortunate position. I was a chief investigator exposing Russiagate, the largest criminal conspiracy conjured up by our FBI and DOJ to rig election. And if you extend that conspiracy out, the same government gangsters utilized it in January 6th, utilizing the 51 intel letter, and utilized it in other places. So our trust in government has been destroyed by those corrupt criminals who serve in those leadership positions. So that's the hard part. When we see things like this sort of tragedy, we only question our government instead of respecting what they tell us. And that's why we continue to question our government's activities under Biden, whether it's Russia, the Ukraine, Israel, terrorists, Afghanistan, or what have you, because they have failed America at every turn. And they have authored the greatest government conspiracies against Americans every step of the way.
So how much faith should the average person you know, just people put in what they're being told by Joe Biden on this incident? How do you, how should you approach it, you know?
It's tough. A healthy dose of skepticism against this government is called for. And the sad thing is that this may end up being just a tragedy, mm-hmm. an error, a mechanical issue. And we are going to waste, if that's the case, and I don't have the intelligence for me, we're going to waste an enormous amount of time because the government themselves has caused us to ask questions that would otherwise not be asked in situations like this. I mean, a ginormous bridge just collapsed because a boat ran into it, one of the largest harbors in the United States of America. And essentially, we haven't been given any answers other than, quote unquote, mechanical. And so, of course, people are going to question the Biden administration. I would say let's keep those questions at bay for now. And let's see where the evidence goes in the next couple of days.
I don't know if you saw this. I just saw it a few minutes ago. Turns out that the ship that crashed into the bridge, the CEO of the company that owned that ship is Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, who was killed in a car accident not too long ago. I don't know if that means anything.
Oh, wow. I don't see. As I say, these coincidences aren't coincidences when it comes to government. So that's only going to cause more questions to be asked. But we have to also remember that, you know, six families lost loved ones on that day.
Right.
And, you know, we got to give, even though our government has failed us in so many instances, we owe a bit of a modicum of honor for these coming days to them. And then we'll get into it, I'm sure, as we unveil, as you just did, more and more layers of this.
Have we reached the point of the government being guilty until proven innocent? I guess I mean guilty of not telling the truth.
It's a valid question. And a lot of Americans are guilty until proven innocent. Just look at how Donald Trump's being treated or any of his supporters or anybody that supports the America First movement. So the authors of this reverse two-tier system of justice are the Merrick Garlands and Chris Rays of the world, are the people that orchestrated Russiagate who are now in charge of DOJ. Are the people that told you to your face and lied about Hunter Biden's laptop and had 51 Intel officials snatch another election from you by taking away your right to the truth. So when you put a point on it like you did, it's unfortunate that we are in this position, but we are there because certain individuals in high levels of government have authored so many corrupt conspiracies to take away our right to have the truth read every single day and seen every single day that we now have to question them.
So now a new word, it's not really a new word, but it's one that people are using a lot now that many people never heard of before, and that would be lawfare. How's that doing right now? Is Trump winning?
I think the former President Trump is winning. And look, that's just it. The deep state's number one weapon of choice is a two-tier system of justice, a.k.a. lawfare. That's what I dive into in my book, Government Gangsters. And they are using it unconstitutionally to go after Trump, as we have seen, to create an alternate judicial system to give Joe Biden a free pass for actually committing crimes and baselessly prosecuting Donald Trump because he's a political target. But they don't stop there. They're going after so many people, including some around January 6th, baselessly, unconstitutionally. We just saw the Supreme Court reverse a decision about obstruction of congressional hearings and set a man free. I think we're going to see some more of that. But this DOJ, led by Biden and Garland and Chris Wray, as they have announced publicly, are going to continue to target thousands of Trump supporters because that's what they think they can get away with doing and rob us of the truth, just like Liz Cheney and the January 6th committee did by burying evidence of innocence. It's all related. They're all working together, and they want to do one thing, seize the truth and seize the powers of government for themselves, so Donald Trump never wins.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, as someone who knows the deep state and knows what it is, and you've seen it from the inside, and you also are well aware of the kinds of people and who work in it, and you know, the bureaucrats. I always go back to it being really simple about why there's so much energy spent on Donald Trump by the left, including the media, but also the government. And it's just that he's an outsider, and he came in there and he didn't play by the rules, and he wasn't a member of the club, and he didn't pay his dues and all that stuff, and that I'm running this by you to just see if you agree with my theory here, that they know now what he knows, that what he's found out, and they know that he knows that they know. And he can't he can't be in power again because he knows too much, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's just it. Donald Trump has exposed the corruption that has crippled our government for these last so many decades. And in this first administration, it wasn't Democrats versus Republicans. It was the deep state in the swamp versus Donald Trump. And we took them on. And if should Donald Trump go back, the deep state knows he's going to finish the job of exposing career corrupt officials like Rod Rosenstein, Mark Esper, Bill Barr, Gina Haspel, Chris Wray, Merrick Garland. The list goes on and on. And they also know he is going to remove their ability to swim in and out of the deep waters of the swamp and enrich their bank accounts and put their names in the Hollywood headlights falsely, because he is going to destroy the government gangster swamp that they have been living in for years. And that's what terrorizes them the most. He is going to take government and give it back to the American people. And these people can't stand it.
They have to be surprised that the lawfare hasn't worked, that they keep throwing this stuff at him. I don't know. Most people would have quit by now, especially a guy who's a billionaire and could go play golf and forget about all of it.
No, you're right. And I was just with the president in Palm Beach for a couple of days this past week, and I saw him more energized than ever. And every time I see him, he's got more energy and more drive and more willpower than ever before. And you're right. Any other person would have been crippled by this point. But, you know, I ask him, you know, every now and then, you know, how do you keep going, sir? How do you keep going? And he says, Cash, too much is at stake for our country. Too much is at stake for our future generations and our children. And he's not going to lay down for these government thugs. And I think every time they throw an arrow at him, every time they take another piece of lobster and try to shove it down his throat, he ingests it and grows bigger and bigger, and he exposes their criminality and conspiracies. And I think he's the only human being I'm ever going to see in my lifetime or any that can have that ability to stand up for this country when its corrupt thugs at the top are coming after him. But the key is, to him, they're not coming after him. They're coming after us, and he's just in the way.
Yeah, he's not giving up anytime soon. That's pretty obvious if he hasn't given up now. We're talking to Cash Patel. He's a Trump 2024 surrogate, but he's also the author of Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. So you mentioned about the collusion, I guess, between the Biden administration and the prosecutions of Donald Trump. How blatant is the collusion?
Well, you just have to look at the facts. Joe Biden, as president, ordered for the first time in history the waiver of presidential privileges so the Department of Justice could appoint a special counsel and bring these cases. That is a direct connection. They could not have done so had Joe Biden not, for the first time in U.S. history, waived presidential privilege. He has also implemented a stream of White House counsels that work with the Department of Justice on a near daily basis about what prosecutions are ongoing, whether it's Donald Trump or his affiliates or people related to January 6th. They are in cahoots with each other every step of the way, and they come out there and say, we don't know what the Justice Department is doing. It's very independent. That is a bold-faced lie to the American people based on the prosecutions and their own work. And so we shouldn't believe it for a second. It's a coordinated political strike using lawfare illegally to target their opponent.
And who is Matthew Colangelo?
I'm not sure.
He's involved in the hush money case, and he worked in the Biden Justice Department, but he was then hired by the district attorney, I believe, Bragg.
Oh, right. Yes. Sorry. Yes. Well, again, no coincidences in government.
Right.
A high level DOJ employee who does the bidding of Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, then later goes on, after his tenure in the Department of Justice, attacking Donald Trump and his supporters with lawfare, to work for the very district attorney that brings the case that should never have been bought to try to take away Donald Trump's financial ability to support his own campaign. It's all interrelated, just like the Georgia prosecutor who took American taxpayer dollar monies and profited from the prosecution of Donald Trump. They met with Kamala Harris for 6.5 hours at the White House a week before they indicted Donald Trump. It's all interrelated. They're all working together because they have one thing in common, a hatred for Donald Trump, because his love for America is going to destroy their corrupt way of life. And it's catching on across this country.
The hatred is obvious. I'm just wondering if you think the fear actually is stronger than the hatred, as I said before, about what he might do what he knows about them and what he might do if he gets into power again.
Well, they're definitely in fear of it because he will expose the rest of the government's corruption that he was not able to do in his first term. I mean, just think about it. If you look at it in this obscure way, if Donald Trump had been in the White House for two consecutive terms, we wouldn't have seen all this other corruption exposed about the DOJ and FBI and about the DOD and the CIA and its weaponization and its politicization. So it's been a rough lesson for the American public to learn, but maybe we can somehow use that lesson to educate the masses and say Russiagate was not a right-wing conspiracy. The FBI and DOJ were weaponized. Afghan withdrawal was a disastrous political cycle by Joe Biden that led to the death of 13 Americans, the 51 intel letter, Jan 6, and so on. These are all things we are now stitching together to say one thing. America, you were robbed of the truth, and you were robbed by government bureaucracy of the swamp, and Donald Trump has exposed that. And yes, they are running in fear of it. It may be energizing them, but I think we are overcoming their fear.
Donald Trump knows a lot more about the deep state than he did when he became president 7 years ago. What does he have to do when he becomes president again to fix it? And what can he do quickly? I mean, what can he do quickly? Not you quickly.
Yeah, no, I think it starts with personnel, and he knows a lot of people that will come in and serve his America First agenda. So I think it starts there. It starts with things like implementing a declassification office that 24/7 basis rolls out government documents that have been overclassified so Americans can have the truth. It starts out with working with Congress to secure the border and expelling illegal immigrants. I mean, look, with Donald Trump, you don't have to guess. He puts his policies out there front and center. And I give you a cheat sheet of them in the back of Government Gangsters in 4 pages. I tell you how we fix every agency and bureaucracy. Those are just a couple of examples. It also starts with Congress conducting actual oversight of corrupt government agencies and taking these agencies like the FBI and reminding them that they don't work for themselves. Deploying them across America to criminals would be a good start instead of having 10,000 sitting in downtown D.C. Those are just a couple of things we can do.
What happens if the Democrats win in November? And whether it's Biden or somebody else, which actually is what I think it's going to be, somebody else. But either way, what happens if they win?
We're not going to let them. That's it. Too much is at stake. Everybody says this is the most consequential presidential election of their lifetime about every election. But this one is. And everybody knows that. And it's different. I go around this country and I speak to so many Americans from coast to coast. And they see that. And they agree with that. And they are energized. And they are mobilizing. So we're not going to talk about loss. We are going to talk about defeating the Biden deep state juggernaut. And we are going to do it behind Donald Trump's great leadership. And we are going to win over independents and moderates and even Democrats because they are tired of children dying in our streets from CCP overdose fentanyl, tired of Americans being murdered by illegals, and tired of the forever wars that the Washington, D.C. swamp wants to mobilize yet again for another generation to die in the Ukraine and Israel. And they are tired of terrorism on the rise. So we are going to see Donald Trump win.
We're finishing up here with Kash Patel. He's a Trump surrogate and author of The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our, I'm sorry, Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. I got about a minute and a half left. You're a hockey fan and a player. My brother, who works for the Penguins, told me to ask you, what happened with the name you chose for your senior league team on the island?
Yeah, the Dons. So my men's league team that I've been playing with in the East Coast for 8 years, we just won 3-peat champions, by the way. We were criticized in the New York Times for they called us out for saying, oh, I named my beer league hockey team after Donald Trump, when in fact we named him after Don Cherry 8 years ago, a great commentator from Canada. And so tell your brother thanks for that great question, but stories like that are in Government Gangsters. And, yes, I am a hockey fan. I've been playing since before I was born. New York Islanders all the way.
Yeah, well, that's funny. They wouldn't think that you would name him after Don Cherry, who, by the way, turned 90 last week, I think. And as my brother said to me today, he's a sign of how far Canada has slipped. He's persona non grata now among the media up there, and that tells you a lot about Canada because he's a superstar, Don Cherry.
He is, and guys like him and Theo Fleury are all cheering on Donald Trump, and it's seeding out outside of the borders of America. So it's good to see that momentum taking down Macron and taking down that brown-faced racist up in Canada and Harper and everybody else.
Yep. Hey, Kash Patel, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Hope to talk again before the election.
Thanks for having me, and you bet. I'll come back anytime.
Okay, that's Kash Patel, and we will be right back. Well, if you watch sports, you've probably noticed that gambling has become a big deal. Not that it wasn't always a big deal, but since it's been legalized, it's been monetized by the networks and the leagues they cover. And now there's a scandal involving the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bruce Dalbigan of NotThePublicBroadcaster.com says Shohei Ohtani could be headed to the Hall of Shame with Pete Rose, and he joins us now. Bruce, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks.
So he says, Shohei does, that his interpreter stole $4.5 million from him and used it for gambling with an illegal bookmaker. Are you buying that story?
Well, I mean, it's the only thing he can say at this moment. If he said anything else, he'd force Major League Baseball's hand to suspend him, likely. So this is all he can do. And I mean, you know, when people, celebrities get in this kind of a problem, that's the first thing they do. It wasn't me, somebody else handling my money. It's really hard to believe that either he, I'm talking about Ohtani, or his accountant didn't see this money being stolen out of his account over a period of time and not realize that something was amiss. But, you know, that'll all have to play out. But clearly his money being used in an illegal betting operation, because California doesn't have legalized betting, has got to be something that the major leagues have got to look into. After the way they treated Pete Rose, you know, they got to be serious about it.
Well, the fact that California doesn't have legalized betting, and he was playing for the Angels, then he was using an illegal bookmaker. But you can bet by just turning on picking up your phone and going to any one of the million websites now. Why would he have to? Do you think he would have to go to an illegal bookmaker?
Well, I think the idea was that it would be hidden from Major League Baseball. It's a good thing that we have the public betting now, because we can see what's happening. We can trace stuff. In the past, a lot of it was handled by the mob. A lot of the betting was handled by the mob, the underworld, etc. We had no idea what was going on. So, in one sense, it's good that we can see what's happening. The sense I have is that they thought that this was going to be discreet. Ohtani's translator, whoever was doing the betting, thought that this guy would be discreet and he wouldn't say anything and that it would all go smoothly. And clearly it hasn't. And, you know, the thing is, I've made sports bets in the past. I make them now. All my stuff is public. But I do know that in the old days, that if you were dealing with a bookie and you didn't pay your money off, he didn't come over and buy you an ice cream and have a chat about it. You know, he made it quite clear to you what would happen if you didn't surrender the money. So I think they got to a point maybe with the bookie in California where the bookie was starting to get a little bit antsy about it. But the biggest thing, and no one's really talking about, and you mentioned it, all these years that Ohtani was in the California dressing room and the translator was in there with him, the translator could see everything that's happening in the dressing room. He could see the guys who were injured. He could see the guys who were not happy. He could see the guys who were having problems. That information would be gold to the betting world, to the underworld, the bettors, and those kind of people. Nobody has mentioned this so far. And Ohtani is 100% responsible for this guy being in the dressing room and seeing all this sort of stuff. So wherever the money came from or how it got to the bookie, that's where the problem really starts. Ohtani's translator could have been selling this information anywhere.
Well, I'm not a big gambler, but I don't gamble at all and never have, really, even though I covered sports for 30 years. It seems to me that, you know, you mentioned it, if you you don't get your legs broken if you don't make your payment to FanDuel after you've made a bet.
That's right. They ask for the money up front.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How does his interpreter, how does he manage to run up a bill of $4.5 million with a bookie before he either gets his legs broken or the guy cuts him off and doesn't allow him to bet anymore?
Yeah, I mean, and when you see a guy who owes $4.5 million, you can bet your life that he didn't lose every bet. You can bet your life that the traffic that he was doing, he probably made $4 million and lost $4.5 million or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That happens all the time with bookies. The other thing about it is when you look at these kind of situations with the money moving, all that sort of stuff, the bookie has to know he's not going to lend a translator, a guy who's, let's be charitable, say he's making $250,000 a year. He's not going to advance him $50,000 or $100,000 to make bets. The bookie's looking and saying, I know he's backstopped by Ohtani. Maybe the translator has said that Ohtani knows about it, and that's okay. But that was his money in the bank. That was his fallback position. I'll take this action because I know Ohtani's money is behind it, and that has to be answered for as well.
Yeah, and the interpreter seems to be having trouble keeping his story straight. It was stolen, and then he forgot, and it's one of those deals.
It was a loan. He was a loan and all that sort of stuff. What's interesting, too, here, and again, you've been around dressing rooms and pro sports teams for a long time. He changes teams from California to the Dodgers, and before he even plays one game for the Dodgers, this crops up. And clearly it tells me the Dodgers did some diligence that the Angels never did on this guy. The Angels seem to have let him go and do whatever he wanted. The Dodgers clearly found out pretty quickly after they signed this guy that there was, you know, some real risk about it. And they give them credit. They've tried to do this thing before the season starts and get it wound up one way or the other.
Yeah, and it was pretty apparent to everybody that Ohtani was making millions and millions of dollars and was going to make a lot more, and he ended up with he signed for 750 or 700, whatever it was, 700 million.
Yep.
It just seems insane to think that a bookie wasn't using what he knew about Ohtani's income and wealth and had nothing to do with the interpreter.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, years ago, 2006, I worked a lot on Wayne Gretzky's wife and Rick Tocchet, who's currently the coach of the Vancouver Canucks, got involved in a betting scandal. And, of course, the whole thing was believing that Janet Gretzky was actually the one who was doing the betting and that she just wasn't the beard for Wayne. And Wayne's not that kind of guy. He hates betting, et cetera, et cetera. He's as honest as the day is long. And then we get legalized betting, and with about 15 minutes, Wayne is like doing public commercials for betting and all that sort of stuff. Please. You know,
yeah, he's everywhere now.
I don't know. Born at night, I wasn't born last night.
Who's he? Is it FanDuel? I don't remember who he's with, but he's doing commercial MGM.
MGM casinos and stuff. And he's the face of hockey for them. And he has brought Connor McDavid and some of the current players into these ads. Now, here in Canada, they've stopped allowing current athletes to be involved in these commercials. So they've taken that out. I mean, one of the things that gets me about it, of course, is what's the message we're sending to kids, et cetera, and, you know, showing them all this. Well, first of all, you can't gamble legally until you're 18. So this idea that 10-year-olds are going to get on their phone and be able to bet and spend their parents' money, that is not going to happen. If you have an illegal bookie, you could bet with them, but you could have always bet with them. So that hasn't changed with legalized betting. And that's a little bit of a nose stretcher for me when I hear people talk about that. And then they say, they'll be around betting and they'll think it's a common thing. I don't know about in the United States. I think you had the same thing in Canada. We had alcohol advertised on our hockey games for 50 years. And, you know, so what did the kids think of that? That alcohol is okay? Well, it's the same thing with gambling. We've just headed into a new era. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that gambling doesn't have its risks. I know guys who have gone through money. I've had people beg me for money who have to pay off bookies, etc. I'm not making it seem like it's a small thing. But the idea that somehow having the gambling connected to sports in a legal way is going to send all these kids into gambling, it just doesn't hold water because they can't legally bet anywhere.
We're talking to Bruce Dalbiggan of NotThePublicBroadcaster.com. I don't gamble, as I said. I think I bet on one Penguins game when I was in Las Vegas covering a fight, and that's the only bet legal. I mean, I used to play the football polls and, you know, stuff like that, but I never placed a bet with a bookie, and that was the only legal bet I ever made. I bet on the Penguins against the Capitals, and the Penguins lost. That's the only one I remember. But,
but you learned your lesson.
Yeah, but I do know that, I'm old enough to remember, I think you are too, when players weren't even allowed to say the word gambling. They weren't, and Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle were threatened with suspensions if they didn't quit their jobs as greeters at a casino. Alex Karras and Paul Hornung in the NFL were suspended for a year, and they if a player showed any association with gambling, he was done. He was gone.
Yeah,
and so I think there's a reason for that. And I don't know how, tell me what you think, but I just don't see how sports is going to get through this without a gigantic scandal or 10 before this is over.
Well, certainly if they have to ban Ohtani for life, that's going to be a huge blow, because he is the meal ticket for Major League Baseball at the moment. He is the new Babe Ruth. And for him to be brought down by this, I think that would be a very sobering moment for them. And, again, we're in new territory because this has all been legalized. This stuff has gone on for years behind the scenes, but now that we're getting it legalized, we've got to find a way to sort of normalize it so that it doesn't ruin the sport. We had the Tim Donaghy thing in the NBA a few years ago, where Donaghy was tipping off gamblers. And now we have the story that the Toronto Raptors guy might have been shaving points. Well, in his case, on prop bets, he might have shaving how many rebounds or how many three-pointers he took to help some gamblers. It's going to be out there. The best part about it and the way they found this guy in the Raptors is that it is public. And we do know that all of a sudden this guy who's a nebbish, he's nobody, and all of a sudden his – 3-point shots on one game are suddenly the most valuable bet at all the bookies. That tells us that something's going wrong. So we do have a bit of a system now where we can tell if there's too much action, too much suspicious action on a certain thing, that we will be able to get after it. But they've got to be. And you for years walk into dressing rooms. If you walk into the Pirates clubhouse, there's a big sign on the door. Yep. No gambling. You're not allowed to gamble. You knew what happened to Shoeless Joe Jackson. So I didn't have a lot of pity for Pete Rose when he was saying about, well, I didn't bet on my team. Come on, Pete. You know what that sign said every day.
I have zero sympathy for him. Zero.
Yeah, at that rate. I mean, yeah, maybe over time if he was contrite, maybe I could see it. But he went against it, and then he denied it, just as Ohtani's denying it. So
this
has a ways to play out.
Yeah, but what made it strong was that it was a ban for life, and if a guy gets banned for life and then it ends up not being life, then the sign is worthless, really. And I have no problem with him being in the Hall of Fame. They should be in the Hall of Fame, and it should say on his plaque he was banned from baseball for gambling. So to me, it's no more complicated than that.
I hear you.
But here's my thing, Bruce. I think it's only a matter of time until one of the one or more of the major sports leagues has a big problem, and I don't mean just one player, getting suspended. I mean, finding out that players were fixing games and were trying to. And where I think it's going to be a problem, and I think it's going to be a big problem in college football and basketball, and it's going to be what I imagine is, and you could say this in the pros, it would be like a marginal player in the pros who's maybe lost his money, which so many of them do, especially in the NFL. And he figures he needs one big payday before he gets out. And he starts talking to the bookies, and he cashes in on fixing one game or something, and then that blows the whole thing open. But here's the other thing. The NCAA, these college football players and basketball players are getting paid now. But there are a few of them making millions of dollars, making big money. But there are a lot of them that are making a few bucks. $25,000, $50,000, they get a taste of the money. Aren't they a great temptation for bookies to approach them and say, hey, kid, you're not going to the NBA, but how'd you like to make a couple $100,000 working for me?
It certainly has the potential for that. There's an old expression that I use from time to time. They say that three people keep a secret so long as two of them are dead. And my theory is with these things is they can go on for a short period of time, but they will be caught up, especially if it's a young person. He doesn't know what he's doing when he's shaving points, or he doesn't know who he's talking to in a bar or in a discotheque or a strip club or something. That can go on for a short period of time. For a whole team to organize something, man, that would be really, really tough. It'd be tough to keep it under wraps long enough. And you'd have to let the people who are bookmaking know. The people who follow the bets, they watch every day. So if you take a college football team and the quarterback's on the take, and all of a sudden you start to notice that there's the betting that's on that team is disproportionate to other teams, then you're going to have a sense, wait a minute, something's going on there, and you back it up, and you'll find it out. But they're going to have some real rules in place before that, before all this is normalized.
Well, the thing that you mentioned, the prop bets, I don't know how they do that. They have ridiculous prop bets for the Super Bowl, one of which was how long will the take to sing the national anthem. Well, if I'm singing the national anthem, what's preventing me from sending 100 people out to bet on what the length of the national anthem is going to be and then me cashing in on it?
The Super Bowl bets are crazy. The color of the Gatorade. Yeah. I mean, somebody, the equipment manager, decides that. Is he not going to tip somebody off? As you say, the singing the national anthem. Some things you can't fix, the coin flip or something. But yeah, there's a lot of those things where, you know, it's the fourth quarter. You're losing. You know, there's some sort of prop on you that everybody is, it's the under. Let's say you're a football player.
Well, Patrick Mahomes could have the over under on the number of yards he gets. And his team's losing and he has 312 yards and the under is 315.
Yeah.
He's going to just throw a few incomplete passes as the game comes to an end.
He could. The one thing about every sport is there's only one or two people you can bribe that can really affect a game. And you just mentioned a quarterback. He's the ideal person to get to because he can affect it. An offensive tackle, he can miss a block here and there, but it's not that big a thing. The pitcher, the goalie in hockey, those are the kind of people who you'd really be looking to get to if you wanted to be if you're trying to get them to do illegal gambling.
And the other thing, and I'm finishing about 30 seconds here. The other thing is that people are going to start suspecting it. That's the problem. Even when it's not happening, people are going to say that goalie he must have thrown the game. He was so bad. How much money did he have on the game?
Well, we know about it now. It's all out in front of everybody. We all know how gambling works. We know about prop bets and all that sort of stuff. And it's not a secret anymore. It's not being done under the, you know, the underworld is handling it. So in one sense, we're getting some sunlight on it, and hopefully eventually that'll clean it up.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on the show, Bruce. Bruce Dalbiggan, notthepublicbroadcaster.com. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Talk to you.
Okay, we'll be right back. So congratulations and happy Easter to Ronna McDaniel. I know some people, and I actually had it happen to myself a couple of times where I had a radio show I was doing and the network pulled the plug on it all over the through the whole network, through the whole CBS. They pulled the plug on a concept of the show that I was doing, and they owed me money. And I got like 7 months where I got paid for doing nothing. But I didn't get what Ronna McDaniel's getting. She was on Eat the Press. This is tremendous. She was on Meet the Press for 20 minutes on Sunday, okay? Her contract says she gets $300,000 a year. They fired her yesterday. She's still going to collect the $600,000 for 2 years for 20 minutes worth of work. And I love it. What a great deal. She's got to have what kind of a party is she throwing? $600,000. And by the way, she can go get a job somewhere else if she wants to keep working. But she's going to get $600,000 the next 2 years for doing nothing. And it's all because the people at MSNBC and I guess NBC too, Chuck Todd, they went right on the air and said it right out loud that that their owners should not their owners, their bosses should not have hired McDaniel in the first place. And the boss caved. Here's what a good boss of a network that's worth your attention for more than 12 seconds would do in a situation like that. He would fire the people who said it was a bad hire and that they should be embarrassed or ashamed. If not fire them, at least long suspensions. And the message should be, we will decide who works here and what approach we take to covering the news. You won't. You are fired, in the words of a former president. I'll talk to you Monday. Happy Easter.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.